Hey there, welcome back to the Mindshift Podcast. This is your host, Daryl Evans. If by chance this is your first time here, I have spent the last 30 years starting and growing my own successful businesses. Since 2011, my teams and I have been behind the scenes helping hundreds of other businesses do the same, including an exit at my company, YokoLocal. One of the biggest challenges our clients face in growing their businesses online is understanding how to get the right message in front of the right person at the right time to generate leads and sales. Today, I'm sharing with you a segment from our Get More Customers Academy live event where I was teaching entrepreneurs how to read their customers' minds. A lot of you are writing blogs and doing YouTube videos and posting on social media like Facebook and Instagram, and you're not seeing results. Well, if you follow what I teach in this segment, you'll be well on your way to creating content that attracts leads and sales, and your customers will feel like you read their mind in the best way. If you enjoy this clip and you want more training like this, head over to mindshiftbusinessacademy.com where you can be trained by me every month. 96% of the people that hit your website are not ready to buy. So what on earth do we do with the 96? Talked about buyer personas. We then talked a little bit about traffic and how to go about getting traffic. We talked about blogging and all of this other good stuff. We spent some time before lunch talking about lead generation. So Stormy made a comment earlier, Dan made a comment earlier, that 96% of the people that hit your website are not ready to buy. So what on earth do we do with the 96? So even the ones that opt in and download your one-page checklist, they're not ready yet. When I had that issue in 2009, and I found out in January by way of a text message at 4 o'clock in the morning, didn't I say it took me 10 months to make the purchase? So what do you do? What do you do, and how do you utilize technology? I just made the comment that technology can get you to third base. I want to prove that to you today. So the question is, how are we going to speak to these people? The mindset shift that we can take with inbound and with digital is the same one we took with networking. Relationship, relationship, relationship. I was somewhere this morning, and let me glance through the room. I heard someone this morning say, who was I listening to that said, I feel like I already know Daryl because I've been getting emails. Would somebody admit to saying that to somebody? That was you? Say what you said, please.
I told Stormy, who I know, that I feel like I already know Daryl because I received so many emails from him.
Thank you. Are those annoying emails? They built an expectation. Okay, so that was all related to this event, though, right? Okay, great. So, well, you paid for a ticket. I should treat you right, right? So let's talk about the sales mindset. The mindset used to be know, like, and trust. Everyone's familiar with that old adage. Is that fair? Okay. That's still, I don't know, I challenge this theory because someone at 11 o'clock at night, like I was, when I found out in 2009 that I had a problem, I wasn't interested in having a relationship with an attorney. Is that a fair statement? Right? I don't know that anybody in this room necessarily wants to take me to dinner when this is over, like to have a relationship. Maybe you want to take me to coffee or something, but so the idea of know, like, and trust was sort of my, what I call pre-internet mindset. And I mind you, I started selling at the age of 19, selling clothes and sportswear and hats out of the trunk of my car at the Broadacre Swap Meet in North Las Vegas on the corner of Lake Mead and Pecos, right behind McDonald's. What? Y'all, who knows about that swap meet? What? Y'all probably bought something from me. Shoot, I had to pay for college. That's literally why I started the business. I had to pay for college. Okay, here's the mindset I'd like you to start to adapt. We've talked about it. These should make sense. Our job with our website, if someone's at 11 o'clock at night, 3 in the morning, 4 a.m., 2 a.m., 10 a.m., 8 p.m., whatever it might be, our job is to help remove their questions. What did I have in 2009 when I went to the web? I had questions. We want to remove concerns. If we answer a question that you have during the panel discussion, do you feel a little bit better? Do you feel like we've moved a little closer in terms of our relationship in the literal sense? The next thing you want to do, of course, is remove roadblocks. People hate being sold. As much as I love to sell stuff and as much stuff as Stormy has sold, Stormy didn't say this, but the reason Dan says that Stormy can help you with sales, Stormy and I both grew up in the world of sales, but Stormy was the number one salesperson at an electronics store in the entire United States of America, and Stormy did inbound before inbound ever existed because he understood that it wasn't just about a sale of a television or a VCR or whatever it was that he was selling. He knew that he had to build relationship. So what Stormy would do is what I call the Nordstrom's model. How many people are familiar with Nordstrom's? Did you know that in Nordstrom's you could buy something from Sears, take it to Nordstrom's and tell them you bought it there and you want a refund and they'll give it back, give you money back? How many people knew that? Yeah, Nordstrom has a philosophy that they don't care where it came from. They don't even care if they sell it. Now, it's, you know, you got to be super unscrupulous to do that stuff on a regular basis, but they are known from, they're known for refunding someone money on tires, and they don't sell tires. Oh, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But Stormy was that guy. So we want to remove roadblocks. Here's the big problem in sales. Here's the big problem that we find when you start getting things right. You get your buyer personas right. You got traffic coming to your website. You've got leads coming through the front door. But this is a study. This statistic was pulled from a study in 2012 from Forbes magazine, that 73% of leads are never followed up on, even in Fortune 500 companies who have all the money to invest. So here's my challenge and what we've seen over the last 6-7 years, and of course in my career of selling, and by the way, I managed 100 loan officers in my company when I owned a mortgage company, 100 loan officers I trained and taught, and they just wouldn't do this, what we're going to talk about right now. If we don't follow up on these leads, we're not going to make sales. And here's the thing. If you now understand what you know, which is that 96% of people are not ready to buy, then you will know then that you can't just follow up one time, even when you do. So how do we use technology to get us to third base, as I said, where we can get leverage, right? Because a lot of times you guys are out there presenting, you're selling, you're doing other things. So the goal is for us to be top of mind aware, okay? Top of mind awareness is the game once they hit your website. How do you remain top of mind? If I would have landed on an attorney's website in 2009, I wouldn't have had to worry who I was going to do business with. If he'd answered all my questions on a blog post, he would have got a phone that went like this. Hey, I need to come in and make an appointment and pay you $200 an hour, whatever it was I had to pay. Okay? That's the goal of what you want to have. I'm going to tell a quick story in a minute, but let me tell you about SafeLight. This is a different example for more of an emergency service business, but I'm driving in a car one day. Just imagine you're driving down I-15, and it's like being in a movie. You're behind this truck, or the truck's in the middle lane, you're in the left lane, and there's this rock or object that falls off the truck. It starts bouncing on the ground ever so slightly, and it seems like even though you're going 65, that sucker just bounces, and you're like, oh, no, bah, hit my window, cracked my window. Over 24 hours, it spidered, and I needed one of these guys, but I didn't know who they were. So I Googled, found SafeLight. I get on the phone. It's a Saturday. Here's how the phone call went. I need a quote on the window repair. They walk me through all of the questions they need to ask to get the quote and da-da-da. I don't know. I'm 5-8 minutes into the call. They had built a relationship with me. And then I said, so when can I schedule the appointment? She goes, well, we're not open right now. Wait a minute, lady. We've been on the phone for how long? And you're not open? No, we don't open until Monday. But I'd be happy to send that quote. Now, what's interesting about this, and I want to make this, because I don't know how many people here have an emergency service business. I didn't think we had many when I looked at. What kind of business is it? Someone's got to travel in a short window of time. The reason I bring this story up, because I knew most of you didn't have an emergency service, but there's a lesson in the way they handle it. So if an emergency service business can do this, why can't we when we have long sales cycles? That's the point. Emergency service business, they know what about me as a buyer. How long am I going to go with a broken window? Not long. What do they know I want? The window fix? Say it again. Cheap and fast. Somebody give her some raffle tickets. If my raffle ticket people are here. I want it done cheap and fast. I'm afraid to get in the car. I'm a grown man. I never had this happen before. I got a daughter. I don't know if this window's going to blow up in my face. I don't know. I've never been there. I need it fixed now. I got a heavy agenda on Monday. I'm busy. This Saturday. I think I'm doing the right thing. I'm going to get it fixed. I call around a few other shops. Nobody else is open either. Guess what? They knew that. That's why she kept me on the phone for 9 minutes. Well, guess what she did before she gave me the quote? She didn't sing me the jingle. Safe Light Repairs. Everybody, Safe Light Replace. Whatever it is. No, she asked me politely for my email address because I didn't come in through a traditional inbound lead on the website. Why did she do that? What is it? to recontact me, to follow up. Whoever said follow up. There's some more raffles over there. She wanted to send the quote. She could have gave me the quote because the two people I called on Monday gave it to me on Monday. So let me make the story fast. I get the quote. She asked me for the email so that she knows on Monday morning I'm calling other companies. She knows she can't book me until 8 o'clock. She knows she has to call me back at 8 o'clock because she can't commit to what a driver can come out and do until they open on Monday and they get their lead flow assignments on Monday. I get an email Sunday with the quote. I get an email Sunday night, so Sunday during the day, morning, or sorry, Saturday. So before we hung up the phone, right after we hung up the phone, I get a quote. I get an email Sunday reminding me that they open first thing Monday morning. I get a call first thing Monday morning. I get an email later. They called and followed up with me inside of that buyer timeline five times. Five. Now, with all of that, I went with another company. This is hard part of telling the story. This is hard. Why did I do that? I had a relationship with somebody else. I told you that story because I'm going to tell you right now, if a rock hit my windshield, no, Lord knows I don't want that to happen again. Who am I going to? If a rock hits, I'm going to Safe Flight. I went to another guy because he happened to be working for one of our clients. So I wanted to honor that relationship. But Safe Flight made that much of an impression through a sales process. So what we're going to talk about is how you can do that. Let me tell you what can happen. This gentleman on the screen, his name is Jared Johnson, Dr. Jared Johnson. Dr. Jared. Hey, guys, this is my first time. So look, Dr. Jared Johnson is a dentist. He graduated here, finished his pediatric training here at UNLV. I met his wife through the UNLV Foundation. And Jared got out of school 2 years ago in June, came and had a consultation with us. Jared was just starting his practice in a big old city called Muscatine, Iowa, all of 24,000 people. Jared's like, I can't afford you guys. I can't. I'm just starting. I can't afford you. I like what I hear, but I can't afford you. He involved himself in a coaching program that we had, an online training course that we had at the time, which we don't have available anymore, but he bought that program from us, and he started doing the things you heard about today. So he was an action taker. Not many of the people that we work with, fortunately, take the action, but he did. Jared has gotten emails from us for 2 years. You see where this is going? 2 years. I knew he wasn't buying overnight. But Jared has a business model that I know we can help. I knew he was going to have to get through startup. So he just got some very helpful emails over the outside of the course. He's gotten helpful emails. Jared's phone call 3-ish weeks ago went like this. He sent me an email. Daryl, I need an expert. When can we talk? My business has grown. I can't play dentist and marketer any longer. How many of you right now think the same way? Like, you're thinking, dang, Daryl and Stormy and these guys, they got me playing marketer now. I'm trying to be an expert. We signed Jared on a retainer. He never saw the paperwork. Now, he obviously got the paperwork. But when you build relationship, the way, I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. So, Melissa, the way Melissa said, Jared knew us. He was clear about what we could deliver. His call was, how much is it going to cost and when can we get started? Sales. Dan made the comment, everything is measured. We don't believe in anything that's not measured. There are some issues with Google tracking and all types of different tracking. There are loopholes and gaps where we can't see everything. Here's an example of what I'm about to, the strategy I'm about to show you. Let me show you what's happening with some of these companies. This is a company, service business, works in the LASIK space. This is just, we call them goals. Like the word we use in Google Analytics is goals. These are leads. Let's just keep it real. The left column are leads. Our percentage, I'm sorry, the one in the middle is leads. What is the value on the right side? Is that how much money he made? No. We assign leads a dollar value, meaning we know how to do industry research to figure out how much every single lead that touches your website is worth, whether they buy from you or not. That's the only way you know if we're getting it right. It's a bunch of joke if someone says, well, we got 3,000 impressions, or we got 100,000 people in front of your ad. If anybody tells you that, pour a glass on them or something, or whatever, your finest drink. This value represents the value of the leads that came through the front door. And let's be clear about one thing. $356,000 value in leads, 1,000 leads. His annual fee to us, we work for him for $50,000 a year. Is that a decent trade-off? His company made $4 million in 1 year. Would you trade $50,000 for $4 million? I think everybody should be bobbleheading right now. Like, yeah. Okay. So here's another thing that's important. We don't just put up, for businesses, we keep scaling and growing and optimizing, as Dan said. We don't necessarily know for sure what's going to work, so we're not that smart. But we test, and we keep testing, and we keep testing, and we keep testing. We do things that most people just can't do, because we have the team and the talent to do it. These are all the various ways people can come into his website, and I'm not going to explain them. I hit them a little bit because we got some privacy things going on. But look at what's going on there. Now, that's a pretty neat chart. There's only one thing up there in red. And obviously, I picked it for a reason because you were all here, and I'm not going to show you any of the red ones. But we fail a lot. Let's be clear. We fail a lot. Any marketer, any company, any agency that won't admit that they suck on campaigns regularly, they're supposed to. We're supposed to get it wrong because we're supposed to do it a lot. And then we figure out what works. So let's talk about this. Email is what we're talking about. I hope you understand email a completely different way once you see this. So this, I'm going to stick to the LASIK example. I'm showing you the subject lines of this actual campaign. I normally don't do this. Please understand how special this is. I normally do not reveal any of the copywriting. I'm not going to show you the copy of the emails. I am going to give you the methodology of each email, and I'm going to give you the titles. So let me set the stage. You are thinking about LASIK eye surgery. You have two concerns. Number one, is it safe? Am I going to lose my eyesight, or am I going to get the victory and get back 20/20 vision? Second concern, cost. That stuff costs some money. And anybody who goes to a $500 eye doctor, God bless you, my doctor ain't that guy. My guy is $4,500, $4,800 or something like that. But we know they're not going to bite that decision. They're not going to make that decision overnight. So the first time they opt in for something on the website, what are we saying to them? Here's your report. So we made up a report, just like the bankruptcy. I don't remember. Basically, we talked about the myths. So the very first one is just a welcome email. What are we saying next? We're going to something called proof. Amazing vision by Monday is the subject line. What we're doing is we're giving a case study of someone who came in and got surgery, and it didn't hurt. They got their eyesight. They got all the stuff they really wanted. We're following up. And by the way, on the right-hand side, you'll see the open rates of these emails. So we're not annoying. 55%, 49%, 37%, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we don't get too caught up in open rates because open rates don't tell the whole story. But it is important to know if the person, if they're the right buyer, they should be engaged with our series going forward if we've done it right, right? Next thing up. Is it really safe? What are we speaking to? Empathy. Is it really safe was already on their mind. They just didn't call our consultant yet. They haven't called the sales consultant. So we're being empathetic to what we already know about their buyer's journey. You guys kind of see how that works? The next one, testimonial. This is what a real customer said, and let's be clear how magical this was. I'm not a magical copywriter on this one. All I did was go take the guy's Yelp review and put it into an email. The guy had already left the review. You see how reviews just do the work for you? You don't have to be a magical copywriter. Just go get the words the customer said. Kate also left a review, so we did another. Kate finally took the plunge. Those are her words. I didn't write that special. When he said he was wearing glasses and hated it, and Kate said she finally took the plunge, those were their words. We came back with another empathetic email. I can't remember exactly what I blanked out there. I apologize, but it was empathy. And then we finished with, proof. Basically, at that time, he'd done over 50,000 procedures. This doctor is prominent. But we wanted to say, okay, you're not working with a shabby doctor here. We've done 50,000 procedures. So what we're doing is we're trying to build for a call to action. Could you do me a favor? What's interesting about that question? Could you do me a favor? It's a call to action email. You can't see the copy. But someone, just shout out loud what you think. Why did... I'm not intrusive. I'm asking for help. Makes me want to see. It's non-threatening. You said non-intrusive. Whoever said non-intrusive, I think he was closest. If I'm walking down this aisle and I drop, if I accidentally drop this, rational human beings would reach to pick it up and help me. We are reciprocal human beings. If I ask you a question, you'll give me an answer. If I ask you how you're doing today, you'll say fine, even though you don't feel fine. That's just the way we just have natural reactions. Email and nurturing is all about continuing the relationship, but trying to be as human as possible. If we've done a good job with our buyer personas, if we've done a good job with our blog posts, then our email is just an extension. We're not talking about creating a whole bunch of new work. How do we know they even read all of our blog posts? HubSpot has 300,000 blog posts on their website. They don't know that everybody's read them. So we never assume that a customer has read every piece of great content we've ever created. So we put them in email. Quick question. It's inside the email. It's inside the email. What I'm trying to do is get them to open the email 8 steps down. 14 days, over 14 days, over 14. Notice what I'm doing. I'm sending that immediately, 3 days later, 7 days later, 7 days later. But because we know it's a long sales cycle, we step out to 14 days, 14 days, 14 days. And because this particular series ends, what I'm trying to do is really get one last stitch effort on this particular opt-in series to get them to take the action. But I need to get the email open first. So the call to action is actually inside the email. But the subject line twist was to get them to open it. Does that make sense? Well, I can tell you, email is number one. Going back to the same conversation about social media, email is one of the only other things you control, the dialogue. So when you get them on your email list, you control that. When you get them to go through your lead funnel, which the young lady here, I didn't get your name, I apologize, Paula made the comment about getting the lead through a funnel. That's really what we're talking about here, is we're walking them through the steps to get them to nurture and buy the product or service, or raise their hand to get to the decision stage. So email has been overdone by spammers, sure, but when you have entered the relationship the right way through a proper landing page, the proper buyer persona, the proper content, look, my clients, my email series and our clients average. Let me show you this one here on the screen. This is a service company in Arizona. They help with debt resolution. They're not an attorney. I'm just remembering all the details. Can anybody guess? And I put it in your workbook. Look at the open rates in your workbook. We got people opening emails more than once. It's ridiculous. Now, this was a short campaign. They only hired us for a short campaign. But look at the open rates there. We sent 49. It was open 60 times. Sent 44. It's kind of crazy. And I put the exact open rates in your workbook. Sorry. I was supposed to label all my pages. I apologize if I missed them. 47? Thanks for the help. Okay. And this doesn't have any context here, but basically we had a campaign that we ran very, very short, and they weren't generating leads. They were getting traffic to their site, but they weren't generating leads. This was the very first month campaign. I will tell you the story behind this company was that the first 6 months they were running their business model, the way they were doing it, they had 6 customers over 6 months. 6 customers over 6 months. What you're seeing on the screen generated 23 customers in 30 days. It's not a guarantee of what's going to happen if you work with us. But when we get into the buyer's persona, they were dealing with a buyer who had, they were frustrated, they were angry, they were scared. And so we did a bunch of things in your workbook that I'm not going to read every single email. I just want to cover, and in this case, I did give you, because they're not clients of ours anymore, so there's nothing that they own, and I wrote them all anyway. But I'm going to give you the actual copy of these emails. But for the sake of time, I'm not going to read them all. I would encourage you, I'm going to set the context one more time. Their customer, think of someone who might be close to filing bankruptcy. They're in a legal battle. And let me set the tone. If you borrow money from a bank, credit lender, or financial institution and you don't pay, they send you late pay notices. If you don't pay then, they send you to collections. If you don't pay then, they send you and they charge you off. They call it a charge off. And then they send it to their legal team, and the legal team comes after you with threats to sue you or to try to get you to settle. Does anybody everybody follow that? Their company steps in right here where the buyer has a decision to file bankruptcy to get rid of the debt or come up with a debt settlement offer. Their company was a debt settlement company. So with that context, I just want to show you these emails. Subject line number one, it's okay if you're afraid. Empathy. They get our letter in the mail, they get our stuff. It's okay if you're afraid. Number two, when bad things happen to good people. See, they think that they're good, they know they're good people. But most, 99, I don't know the statistic, the majority of bankruptcies happen over medical bills, not because they're lousy people. Job losses, things like that cause bankruptcy, not because people just don't want to pay their bills. Did you know you have options? Did you know? So I'll let you guys read the text. 8,000 families, what kind of email is this? 8,000 families served over 19 years. Proof. Proof and authority, right? Don't let them win. I'm calling them out. you're not really going to let them win, are you? You're going to take action on this, right? And then the last one is, I owe you an apology. And I want to read this one out loud because this is super powerful. It's one of my best emails. I say that about all my emails. I owe you an apology. Follow me with me. You've been in this series 4 or 5 emails. You're not sure if I'm the right play or if you should file bankruptcy. As a business, I need you to do my option. Bankruptcy, I lose. If you file bankruptcy, I lose. You with me? I'm selling here. I'm selling. I need you to respond to me or I lose. I owe you an apology. The reason I owe you an apology is that I must have failed to convince you that we could help. Because I take what I do for families to resolve debt matters so seriously, I was really hoping to have heard from you by now. I learned that there are a few reasons why some people don't schedule a consultation with us. They've either A, decided to give up and do nothing. 2, they decided to pay more and hire an attorney. I'm jabbing at my competition. 3, they've decided to work with one of our competitors, and I'm sad about that too. Either way, I hope you've made a decision that's best for you and your family. This will be our last communication. There's still a little time left though. If you'd like us to help you, like we've helped 8,000 others, our number's still the same.
Hey, my friend, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you did, hit the follow or subscribe button so you never miss an episode. If you have a comment or question about today's, I'm always available on Instagram. DM me at Mr. Darrell Evans. And if you want more training from me to help you grow and scale your business, head over to MindShiftBusinessAcademy.com. That's where every single month I go live and teach entrepreneurs how to grow a 6- and 7-figure business predictably and profitably without the overwhelm. These are the same strategies I've used over the last 30 years and the ones we use at the agency to help our clients accelerate growth. I'd love to have you join us.